like we've always done before. But tonight, we're going to be looking at a passage back in Galatians. And I know that it's been a little while since we've been in that book. But so I wanted to just kind of recap of where we've been. So this year, we've decided that our vision is to be disciples who make disciples. And what we've kind of done along with that is we've introduced our Wednesday night program and our Friday night program. So if it's your first night here, congratulations. We're happy to have you. Thanks for being here. And just so you know, we meet every Wednesday, and we have small groups on Friday. So that's a great way for you to plug in. Britton, are you wearing a Chelsea shirt?
I am.
Heathen. Oh. Oh. I'm gonna, excuse me, very proud. Yeah. Oh, Jeremiah, is that an iPhone Bible?
Nope.
It's a Samsung Galaxy, isn't it?
It
is. Heathen! Wow! There's no hope anymore. So yeah, we've been in the book of Galatians, we've been in the book of Acts, those are the two books that we've been studying, and you know, along with this idea of what is discipleship, we just kind of define that. A disciple is somebody who has committed their life to following Jesus. So how do we follow Jesus? Well, a good place to start is the book of Acts, because right there, right after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his disciples are with him, and he promises them that he will give them the Holy Spirit in power, and they will be his witnesses. So we see that Jesus sends his disciples on mission, and their response to him sending them out was to sit and to worship him and to wait on him. So once he brought his Spirit, they were empowered to go and carry out that mission. What was pretty crazy about the first thing that happened within the church after they received the Holy Spirit was that Jews actually came to them. There were over 3,000 people that flooded from all different areas, all different regions of the world, and came into Jerusalem to hear from the disciples about who this Jesus was. So Peter preached this amazing message. 3,000 people get saved. And boom, it was awesome. But then we learned for the first time, what did that early church look like? We learned that last week. And last week what we did is we actually sat down. We broke bread together. Like we had big old ciabatta buns. It was amazing. We had grape juice. We sat down. We broke them together. We devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We looked at a passage together. We devoted ourselves to prayer. We devoted ourselves to breaking of the bread, to giving all of our possessions and giving to the poor. That's what we did last week. So now we're coming back up where we're looking at Galatians. So why are we studying the book of Galatians, right? What's going on here? Well, the book of Galatians is pretty interesting because it's one of the earlier churches in the Bible that we can see. The book of Galatians was written somewhere in the 40s AD, okay? So Jesus died in like 30, 33 AD, something like that. Then all of a sudden, he sends his church on mission, and right now we're seeing a little bit of like the first impact of the mission of the disciples out in the world. So Paul's a pretty young leader here, pretty new to this whole idea of what Christianity is. And he goes out and he's preaching to these people. And the first thing that he says to these Galatians is, he says, "I am astonished that you have deserted him who has called you by grace to Christ Jesus for another gospel." And he says, "If anybody else preaches a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, whether it be an angel or a man, let him be accursed." So these Galatians, they've got a pretty big issue, right? And Paul speaks pretty boldly to these people. But what was their issue? What did they have going on? Some of you guys might know Josh Spencer. Josh Spencer is here. He's a great Christian man. He loves Jesus' church, and he just loves serving him. And he serves here as our Sunday school superintendent. And one thing that he has said has just kind of stuck with me this past week, and God's really been kind of bringing it up more and more. And he said this: "The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things." So the Galatians, their problem was that they let somebody else get them away from what the main and plain things were. They forgot what the whole idea of Christianity was. Behind the center of Christianity is the message of Jesus. That Jesus Christ died because we fall short. That he was buried. That he was resurrected. And not just there. Like, he was resurrected to make us new, to give us hope and to give us new life. A life that was eternal, set after the path that he created rather than what man created. So Jesus was center to what was there. And these Galatians, they kind of like walked away from that. But even within the idea of the message of Jesus, that's a pretty broad thing. The whole church kind of lays on that foundation, but it expands from there too. See, we're kind of like the Galatians because they had an identity issue. We have an identity issue too. We like to think of ourselves and what we do and what we're about more than really who we are, right? The Galatians, that's what they got caught up in too. The Jews were telling them that they needed Jesus plus circumcision to actually be true Christians. But that wasn't the case. Paul said, no, Jesus was enough. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? So Jesus was enough to give them salvation. Jesus was enough more than just Jesus plus circumcision or anything else. And these Galatians, when they walked away from that, they essentially walked away from who they were. Because now it was Jesus plus the law, or Jesus plus this. Jesus wasn't good enough for them to just be their complete savior. They didn't rely solely on him. They were listening to another group of people telling them how to actually live out their lives. And they were wrong. You and I do that too, because reality is, you guys are underneath your parents' house, right? So when you live with your parents have a certain set of guidelines. You got to follow that, right? If you don't, you're going to probably get beat up for it. There's consequences that come, right? Many of you guys are athletes, right? When you're on a team, you have to follow the rules of the team. If you don't follow the rules of the team, you're going to get benched. You're not going to play. Most of you guys are students. You go to school. School has rules, right? You've got to follow those rules. You've got to live by what those standards are. And see, we associate ourselves with the things that we like to do, the things that we like to think about ourselves, more than actually who we really are. Right? I can say, I'm a pastor. Right? That might be an identity that I have. But what is within that identity? Am I more focused on what it means to actually be a pastor and who a pastor is? Or am I focused in on all the actions of being a pastor? Do you kind of see the difference here? You can be a student, but really be an awful student because you can love the idea of academics, but never devote any time to that, right? So there's a disconnect here. There's a heart issue. And these Galatians, they had a heart issue right here. They were Jesus followers, but they got pulled astray by what other people had to say. There was an issue with who they really were. They didn't understand what my exact role and position was. And that relates perfectly to us this year because you know what happens? We go hard. Guys, we've been going really hard for like the past 2 months. We've done a lot of things together. We've been here. We've been having fun. We've been playing some games. We've been breaking bread. We've been doing some pretty interesting things. But if we don't stop and ask ourselves, who are we and why are we here? We're going to forget what this is all about. So tonight, what I'm hoping to teach you guys is a passage from Galatians 4, and what we're going to talk about is just what it actually means to be a true Christian. Who is a Christian? And hopefully along the way, you'll learn one thing, or maybe two, all right? So let's open up our Bibles. Let's look at that passage, Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1 says this, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Let me just kind of bring you into what's going on in the context right here. So in Galatians 1, we've seen Paul comes up and he says to these people, I'm astonished that you basically walked away from the one person that actually saved you. Now you're trusting what other people have to say. In fact, Paul alone, like by himself, was being tested by these group of Jewish people, these religious Jews that follow, quote unquote, follow Jesus. And they were testing whether he was a true apostle or not. They were saying, like, Paul doesn't really have all this stuff together. But Paul comes up and Jesus calls Paul out and Paul responds. Paul goes away into the desert and he sees what Jesus' mission is for him. And he prays about that. Like, he was a leader that just wasn't impulsive, right?
A lot of people come in and lead now just out of impulse rather than out of like true clarity, true purpose. There are going to be plenty of leaders that you're going to meet throughout your educational experiences, throughout like academics and sports and all that. They're going to talk the talk, but they're not going to walk the walk. So Paul kind of defends himself here, and he says, no, like Jesus actually did call me out. And when he called me out, I didn't just go and tell everybody about it. I went away to the desert for like 3 years. I was alone, just me and Jesus, in the middle of nowhere. And then when I found it fit, I came back and I wanted to know from Peter, a true disciple, somebody who Jesus said that I will build my church on. And I wanted to learn from him, what was it like to walk with Jesus? Tell me about who Jesus was. He didn't lay out for him like his fivefold plan of what his ministry or what his life was going to look like. He didn't say like, you know, it's not like going into the school counselor's office and saying, okay, here's my 14 step to get to college. Or here, I'm coming as a freshman. What should I do? That wasn't what Paul did to Peter. Paul came in and he said, I want to learn from you firsthand. What was Jesus like? What was he about? And he learned from him for 15 days. And he talked to James, Jesus' little brother. And then he went away for another like 14 years. And he comes back and he says to Peter, John, and James, the pillars of the church, here's the mission that Jesus has sent me on. Am I running in vain or am I on the right path? They said, Paul, man, you're on the right path. And Paul right there, in boldness, like went out and actually carried that out. He was ready to step into that leadership. So when he stepped into that leadership, he actually called Peter out on a couple things. Peter was standing with like Gentiles and eating with them. And then when the Jews, like a certain group of Jews came into the diner, like came in to eat and sit down with everybody, he got up and left the Gentiles to go sit with them. Like a total hypocrite, right? And from there were some serious actions. Paul called him out and was like, Peter, what's up, man? You're living like a hypocrite in front of everybody. It was very serious. And then we find out from there that like we're not just justified by our works. We're not just justified by what we can do. We are solely justified by the blood of Jesus, by his actions, by what he has accomplished. And that makes us different people. So now what is it all about? Do we go by the works of the law or do we go by faith? And Paul refutes these people and he tells them, listen, that's an amazing movie. Wow, that was like perfect timing too. He says that the righteous shall live by faith. And then he talks about Abraham and how under Abraham, these people who lived by faith, they were under the law and they were kind of held as captive slaves under the law. We come up to this passage right here in Galatians 4. And what we see right here is that I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So beforehand, when Abraham, and beforehand when these Jews had to like live under the law, before Jesus came, they were held underneath that law. They were slaves to the law. Slaves to those things. There was no way out. Nobody could set them free. They were enslaved to elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus came in flesh to redeem us from being in slavery. See, we can get that. We can get that as disciples. We are set free, right? When Jesus died, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we get that we are free. We get that there is great power and great joy and great life that comes because of the blood of Jesus. But we forget the second half of this. Jesus didn't die just to set us free. He died to make us sons. Sons of God. So tonight, that's what we want to learn. What does it mean to be a son? Because right now we're kind of in this transitional step of life. We've gotten a little bit about what the gospel is. I've got a pretty good feeling that most of you in the room know what it means to trust Jesus. I got a feeling like most of you know what it means to be free. except for when you worship him. But that's a different story. I get that you understand that, but I don't think you know what it means to actually be a son, to actually be a daughter, to be an heir with Christ. When Jesus died, he set us free, but he gave us a new identity. We are new creations, new people. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Jesus died to set us free, to give us the title of sons. So Jesus, in His work on the cross, came in, gave us freedom, but also gave us this identity. Now we can stand as sons and daughters of God. Please, like, don't take this for granted. Actually bear the weight of what this means. Because now you don't stand just as a sinner, all right? A sinner in the hands of an angry God. You stand as a son justified by the only one true Son of God. Or a daughter justified as the one true daughter of God by the Son of God, right? There's a completely new thing. When God looks on you, He sees a new creation, new life. He sees His Son. God found it fit enough to draw us near, to send His only Son for us, not so that we could live as sinners in the hands of an angry God, so that we could live as His sons, as His daughters, and expand His kingdom here on earth. Our whole outlook changes because of that. Our whole purpose, our whole drive is radically different now. Because formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those by nature that are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Here's what Paul's saying to these Galatians. That if you essentially decide to have Jesus plus the law to equal life and salvation, you're taking a step back. So when we think of Christianity, our walk with Jesus is Jesus plus works, you know, equals salvation, we're taking a step back here. That's not the truth. That's not the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that Jesus came and He did the work. When we totally fell short, He drew us near so that we could become His sons and daughters. He says, you observe days and months and seasons and years, but I'm afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. He's saying to these Galatians that get it, like, guys, you're taking a step back. What are you doing? Where are we tonight with God? Are we just kind of stuck in this idea that we get that we've been set free? Guys, there's so much to rejoice over, so much to be happy, because we are free. We are free indeed. But what good is freedom if you're not going to live in it? What good is freedom if you're not willing to step out in it? See, the problem is that a lot of American Christians, a lot of students, high school students, trust Jesus to get freedom, but then put themselves back into slavery. Because they like the summer camp conversion. They don't want to actually take what it means to be a son or a daughter. Let me tell you now, to be a son, to be a daughter of God, it's going to be work. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like summer camp fun. But the point is, Jesus died to set you free so that you could be His son. You could be God's daughter. I mean, if you can think about just how Jesus sent His only Son, or God sent His only Son, right? Jesus. Can you imagine the great love that He had when He sent Jesus and when He watched His Son pay for the sins of His people? And He still had compassion on that kind of love? That He would lay down everything, He would give up everything
for people who don't even deserve them. We ought to live differently.
And to live differently, to live as sons and daughters, we got to be willing to be a sacrifice. We got to be willing to sacrifice everything that we hold near and dear to step out. Many of you might not know what it actually looks like to live in sonship, to live as a daughter of God. That is essentially what we're here for tonight and essentially what we are trying to go for this year. The greatest way that I can tell you guys to apply this passage is, you want to become a son? You want to become a daughter? Take the time to actually let somebody invest in you. Take the time to step out in freedom. Truly worship. Worship in freedom. We're going to sing another song tonight. We're going to watch another video. Let that be your worship. Do it in freedom. But not just freedom as a sinner in the hands of an angry God, but do it in freedom as a son or a daughter of God tonight. Step out in freedom to join a small group, because becoming a son means that you learn from your father. Becoming a daughter means that you learn from your mother. Take the time to let people plug into you. Becoming a son means that you have to pick up your legacy and you have to create it. You don't get anywhere by people just spoon-feeding you what you want. You get there with hard work and perseverance, because God lets us work hard for Him. So tonight we need to remind ourselves that we are now sons, we are now daughters, and that our lives demand a complete turnaround. They demand a complete different lifestyle here. But we have to also realize that we can't just do that on our own. We need people to come alongside of us. We need to be invested in. Jesus died to give us freedom. And that freedom was so worth it. All the pain, all the anguish, all the joy, the honor. That was worth it. He is the great I Am. He is our life. He is our author and perfecter of our faith. But how do you know freedom if all you want to do is step back into slavery? Do you know what your slavery is tonight? Are you just trying to live by the ways and principalities of this world? Or are you stepping out to find out who God is? Why you're here in the first place? What this freedom looks like? It's not something anybody can just spoon feed you. It takes your action. Step out as a son. Step out as a daughter. Let's walk the walk. Let's not just be all talk. Amen? Let's pray.